Hello everyone, today is Sunday the 5th of July, and this is the translation of Pascal Girard's message. The reading is taken from Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 to 6, and I shall read from the New International Version. Introduction. In 1889, the city of Paris hosted the Universal Exhibition. For the occasion, we wanted to build a unique flamboyant monument. Among all the suggestions received, there was talk of a giant tower over 300 meters high. Gustave Eiffel had been appointed as architect and site manager. Many doubted the feasibility of his project. The disputes came from all sides. Artists had signed an article of which I give you the first lines. We come, writers, painters, sculptors, architects, enthusiasts who are passionate about beauty, hitherto intact, from Paris, to protest with all our strength, with all our indignation, in the name of unrecognized French taste, in the name of threatened art and French history, against the erection in the heart of our capital of the useless and monstrous Eiffel Tower, which public spite, often marked by common sense and a spirit of justice, has already named after the Tower of Babel. Without falling into the exaltation of chauvinism, we have the right to proclaim aloud that Paris is the unrivaled city in the world. So are we going to let it desecrate all this? Because the Eiffel Tower, which even commercial America would not want, would be, do not doubt it, to the dishonour of Paris. And after that, we built the Eiffel Tower, which is still visible today, of course. There are other much older constructions that have stood the test of time and are still visible today, such as the pyramids in Egypt. And another type of edifice resists against all odds today. I mean the church. And we are, as children of God, in the team that cooperates in the building of his church. Jesus being the head of the church, he is the cornerstone and the foundation. Participating in the life of a local church is one of the greatest privileges we can experience on this side of eternity. The annual general meetings of the church are, among other things, an opportunity to stop, to reflect and thank God for his fidelity during the past times, our projects that have been accomplished, our ministries, finances, etc., and also look to the future with confidence, counting on the fidelity of God for the projects, the challenges, the priorities and the finances which he will provide. Since Jesus is building his church, he invites us to participate in it. The Hebrews epistle contains a fabulous, rich and encouraging text to take part in this promise of the Lord. This text is in chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honour than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honour than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, bearing witness to what would be spoken by God in the future. But Christ is faithful as the Son over God's house. And we are his house, if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. This is the word of the Lord. As for us, we are advancing without yet having a very precise image of what we will be as a church, also as individuals perhaps, and of the real difference that we will produce in the life of many in our city and our region, in particular, therefore, by our testimony. So how can this page of scripture we just read or listened to inspire us? First point, God has given us models of faithfulness. In verses 1 to 3 and 5 and 6a, therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honour than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honour than the house itself. To encourage us to remain faithful, nothing beats the models that we can follow, from which we can draw inspiration. According to the first verse, read, Jesus himself is our divine model. We are called to look to Jesus, who is the apostle, therefore the messenger of God. But he is also the high priest, that is to say, the high priest par excellence, who gave us access to the Father through his sacrifice at the cross of Calvary. If we have the faith that saves and justifies, and that we can confess his name, it is only by his grace and his fidelity. He was faithful to his Father as Moses was loyal to God to lead the people to the promised land. For the Jews, Moses was a model par excellence, a hero, a prophet. He was God's envoy under the old covenant. The house of God referred to in the text of the epistle was not just a building, but the place where God lived. Although Moses was an exemplary character in the eyes of the Jews, a model of fidelity, the Son of God is even greater, since he is the one who built the house of God, who builds his church, which he has himself instituted. His glory is greater than that of Moses, who was only a man. A great man, yes, but a man with his limits and his faults. In our context, it's the same thing. We need models, that is to say, people who inspire us with their lives, their thoughts, their actions, people to imitate. But all these people remain human models, fallible, fishermen, and limited too. We have the same burden and the same role as Moses. He was a model of fidelity in the house of God, but his role was to bear witness to the one who was coming, Jesus the builder, God the Son. We read about this in verse 5 and at the beginning of verse 6. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, bearing witness to what would be spoken by God in the future. But Christ is faithful as the Son over God's house. We need loyalty models. Let us learn from them, especially from Jesus, who is the infallible model which no human can be. Second point, God is the faithful builder of his church. We see in verse 4, for every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. A second truth that we find in this text is that God is the faithful builder. If he created the world out of nothing with his breath and continues to support all things with his powerful word, as we read in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, building his house, his church, is within his capabilities. The sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. When this building was acquired by the Free Church of Bergerac 20 years ago, you knew that the workers who worked on its construction did not build the Church of Jesus Christ, but that they built a building intended first for another use, and which later became a useful meeting place which allows visibility in the city, but which is not our eternal home. One day it will disappear. God alone remains the builder of his church, an invisible God, but almighty and hard at work despite the discouragement and the challenges that we can live with. The workers built a building, while God is the builder of his church. God has been at work with his plan of redemption from the beginning of human history. He chose to save people of all languages, all tribes, all races, and all nations before the foundation of the world. This plan he will accomplish with the return of his Son, who will return to the earth, and new heavens and a new earth will be created where justice will dwell forever. In the coming months, God will be faithful in his work of building the church, as he was when his house was raised under the ministry of Moses. God will be there for us too, and will continue with us his work of construction. We are participating in the most beautiful project in the universe, the Church of Jesus Christ. What a privilege! Third point. We are the house of God if we remain faithful. This was the second part of verse 6. And we are his house if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. This is a third and final truth that encourages us. We are his house if we are faithful, if we testify that Jesus Christ lives in us, that we pride ourselves on belonging to him, and that our hope is firm. This should not remain an abstract and theoretical concept. We need to take action, roll up our sleeves, and demonstrate our belonging to Christ by being faithful to him. Verse 14 tells us, we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. Let us be determined. When God shows us that we have not been faithful, let us remember these hard-hitting words of Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 to 13. Here is a trustworthy saying, if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. So in conclusion, brothers and sisters, we who participate in the celestial vocation with God's call to serve, remember that we have models of fidelity, that God is the faithful builder, that Jesus continues his work of construction, and that we are his house if we remain faithful. How could we be a faithful servant in her church in these times? We read in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6, many claim to have unfailing love, but a faithful person who can find? May God in his faithfulness find us faithful to the end. Amen.